So human design is known as the science of differentiation. And the reason why it's called that is that it's based on this idea that each one of us is born with our very own unique energetic blueprint for how we move through the world and our life purpose. So it is based on your birth date, time, and location. And the location is for time zone.
Hi, and welcome to Beyond Empty Nest. I'm your host, Jody Silverman, speaker, mentor, and chief DARE officer at Moms Who DARE. Every Thursday, I'll share stories of midlife transformation, happiness tips, and dare you to see the opportunities waiting for you so that you can make this next chapter even better than the last. If you're ready to dare, I'm ready to dare with you. Let's get into today's episode. So in today's fast-paced world, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and disconnected from ourselves and others. Despite our best intentions, we often find ourselves caught up in a cycle of self-defeating thoughts and behaviors, leaving us feeling exhausted and purposeless. But it doesn't have to be this way. Change begins with a single step. My guest believes, because this is what is written on her website, what I'm reading right now, because our guest today believes that you have the power to transform your life and show up with intention and authenticity by understanding the impact of self-defeating thoughts, prioritizing self-care, and nurturing meaningful connections. You can break free from overwhelm and discover your true identity. My favorite sentence coming up is, it's up to you to take the first steps towards healing, learning, and growing, and embrace the life you deserve. So yes, that entire introduction was taken from the website of today's guests. It's exactly why I started this show, which was to offer you expert tips and strategies to step into your power and create the life you deserve. So not only does today's guest and I share the same philosophy and belief about the power that each of us has to create a better life for ourselves, we also share the same name. So let me introduce you to Jody Silverman. Jody Silverman is a licensed clinical social worker and Reiki master teacher who is passionate about supporting people in their journey to find meaning, purpose, and connection in life through learning to trust their own intuition. Therachi Healing is a holistic, integrative psychotherapy practice and journey with kindred souls provides opportunities for helpers and healers to explore their own psycho-spiritual wellness through courses, coaching, and community. And I know that was a mouthful, but we're going to break it down for you. But first, welcome to the show, Jody.
Thank you, Jody.
Oh my God, we are definitely going to create either laughs or complete confusion today. So I think before we dive into this, I think it's fair to say, so both this Jody Silverman and myself, both of us, before we connected, would Google our names to see where our businesses were in Google. And we were always jockeying for that first spot. I was Jody B. Silverman. She's Jody K. Silverman. And finally, listening to the universe and trusting my intuition, I'm like, I have to send this woman an email. And here we are. And I'm really excited because we have such synergy in what we do that I can't believe it took this long, but.
Absolutely. I know. And people would Google me and find you and be like, well, it sounded like you, but the picture didn't look like you. And no, it's not me. And I will say, too, another funny synchronicity is that when I got married, I made my maiden name, my middle name. So I am now Jody K. Silverman, but my real middle name is Beth.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. It's my middle name. Oh my God. Okay. So for those of you that aren't watching, you're listening, go over to my website and go watch the video because we were both just, my name is Jody Beth.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I know we're born in different years, but there was like this decade where every middle name was Beth or Lynn.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh my God. I'm so excited. This is going to be fun. And we're going to meet up in person soon, which is great.
Yes.
Because we live near each other. So, but yes. So that was a mouthful that I shared with everybody. So I want you, we're going to talk today about spiritual wellness and mental health practices, because I love that you blend Well, I'm going to let you know what, tell everybody, like, to, what differentiates you from a typical mental health profession?
Yeah, I love that question. Thank you. So one of the things that makes the work that I do a little bit different than your average mental health professional is that I really take into account people's spiritual journey as a way of healing. A lot of times, especially in this day and age, when people are looking for or talking about mental health challenges or mental health symptoms or even diagnoses like anxiety and depression, they're really talking about symptom management in a lot of ways. Oh, I have all this anxiety. I need to get rid of it. Or I'm feeling really sad and I need to get rid of that. And I, you know, and usually what that ends up looking like is going to your primary care physician and, you know, getting a prescription for medications, which there's nothing wrong with that. Those medications can be really, really helpful. But what those types of interventions and even some of the more traditional mental health interventions specifically for things like depression and anxiety, they really focus on symptom management. Mm-hmm. And my passion is more so around helping people get in touch with their inner wisdom and their intuition, trying to understand why they may be having the emotional experiences that they're having, why they may be having the somatic experiences that they're having, because depression and anxiety really are somatic events. We are feeling those things in our body, and there's a reason for it. Our bodies carry all the wisdom. And when we are feeling anxious, there's a reason why those feelings are showing up. And sometimes they're real, sometimes they're perceived, but it's still information that we need to pay attention to. And through doing that work, we get in touch with our intuition, we befriend our inner wisdom, and it helps us to move along in our connection with ourselves, which then allows us to connect with other people. And life becomes much more meaningful and purposeful in that way. So the work that I do with folks is more about that and not about symptom management at all. What I will usually tell people right away when they contact me is if you're looking for somebody who is going to guide you in managing your symptoms or getting rid of your symptoms, I am not the right therapist for you, because I'm going to ask you to really lean into them and try to understand what they're here to tell you.
Yeah, I love it. I'm hearing in my head, self-awareness.
Oh, yeah.
Getting in touch with, because it's so easy in today's world, how fast everything is and the noise and the chaos, but the fast pace, I get stuck in my head a lot.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And ignoring the feelings that are going on and recognizing them. And so I love that you do that, because I think there is a place for medication. And yet, a lot of times, traditional mental health professionals aren't trained in that spiritual, get in touch with your emotions and understanding why you are who you are, why you tick, what makes you tick, makes you not tick. So yeah. I love that. So it's called spiritual wellness.
Yes.
Mental health. And part of what you do is you're a licensed clinical social worker, but you're also a Reiki master.
Yes.
You know, for those who might not know what Reiki is, can you just share what that is?
Absolutely. Thanks for asking that. So Reiki is, it is a Japanese energy technique for relaxation and stress reduction. That's kind of like the clinical name for it. So you can, and some people may have heard of Reiki like at a spa or at your local yoga studio. Reiki people tend to work in those arenas. And you can go get a Reiki session. A lot of massage therapists are also trained in Reiki, so they may integrate Reiki into the work that they do. Yoga studios, especially if you go to like a restorative or like a yin yoga class, they might integrate Reiki as well. It is an energy modality. And the idea is, so Reiki itself is life force energy. And we all have access to this energy, but if you are trained in Reiki, you are attuned to and trained to, the best way to describe it is to channel the energy for overall healing and wellness. And the idea behind it and the way that I like to describe it is that when our bodies are stressed, so we have three nervous system states that we move through. The most pleasurable one, or the one we like to be in the most, is something called ventral vagal. And that's where we're kind of safe, we feel safe and connected. So think about like being with somebody who you really love and enjoy, and you're having a great time and there's not a care in the world. And then we have a sympathetic state, and the sympathetic state is our fight flight state. And that's when we actually become mobilized, and it's not a bad state to be in. It only becomes problematic when we get stuck there. And then if that doesn't work, and this is all happening, you know, in our subconscious, we're not aware of it. Our body just takes care of it. It's pretty amazing how it works. But if that doesn't work, then we shift into what's known as the dorsal state. And dorsal is like shut down. So think about gazelle being chased by a tiger. Tiger catches the gazelle and the gazelle just goes totally limp and is playing dead. Okay. And at that point, the nervous system's like, I'm just going to pretend I'm dead and hope that this tiger leaves me alone.
Got it. Okay.
And again, it's not like our brain is saying, you know, we're thinking, oh, I'm going to play dead now. It just automatically happens. And so we move through those states all day long. For those of us who are under chronic stress or even have a trauma history, we tend to get stuck in that sympathetic or that dorsal state. And when we are in those states, we cannot heal. We cannot grow. It's difficult to learn. It's difficult to appreciate new things. And we just feel like really stuck and disconnected. So think about things like high anxiety, disassociation, wanting to put your covers over your head and not get out of bed kinds of states. When I bring Reiki into the room, and we do this various ways, but when we bring Reiki into the room, because it is this like life force calming energy, it shifts the nervous system from that state into the ventral vagal parasympathetic state, where people start to feel a lot more relaxed. Okay. Their nervous system, just the break on the vagus nerve starts to come up, you know, like, and there's just like this overall sense of relaxation. And from that place, it's much easier to go into those really difficult thoughts, emotions, memories, and process them in a way that promotes healing.
So the difference is when you get Reiki, and I know this, when you get Reiki from like an apothecary or a yoga studio, it's just the energy work. You're pairing it with the deep psychotherapy work to relieve that stress, to get to move us into that energetic space of feeling safe and release the tension, release the fight or flight, release the having to go under the covers so that we can be open to diving into the difficult spaces.
Exactly. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I mean, the people move through, the feedback that I have gotten is that people move through the work much faster.
Yeah, well, I would think so. Well, that's interesting. I never met anybody who paired Reiki with like psychotherapy, mental health practices. It's always just Reiki is energy work, period.
Right. So I've been in Reiki trained for over 10 years. And actually my inroads to becoming a psychotherapist, I mean, I've been a social worker, licensed clinical social worker for over 30 years, but my inroads to actually moving into private practice and being a psychotherapist was because of the Reiki work that I was doing.
Oh.
And it was a very kind of one of these like synchronicity kinds of things that I ended up where I ended up. And after the pandemic, I just made a conscious decision that I was going to bring these two things together. It is definitely pioneering work because there is some stigma around bringing energy work into a traditional psychotherapy practice. It's a complementary practice. It is not evidence-based. I mean, there's more and more research being done around the effectiveness of Reiki, and we do know that it shifts the nervous system. We still don't know exactly how it works, but we all know. I mean, I think all of us have the experience of walking into a room and feeling the energy in the room, right? Like we know the energy's there. And So we know the energy's there, but because we can't feel it or touch it, or we can feel it somatically, but because we can't like touch it or see it, some people can, most people can't.
Right.
We don't talk about it, right? And we don't talk about it in the psychotherapy world because there is even bringing spirituality into psychotherapy is a newer way of doing the work. And there's still a lot of stigma about that. There's a lot of people who think that they should be very separate things. And in my opinion, I don't know how you can separate them out. But there are some people who feel like there's no place for spirituality and psychotherapy. And
I absolutely believe it 100%. I have increased my spiritual practice and I've opened up my mind to, I think, the belief that's always been there, but I didn't know on a conscious level that I had it. And I talk a lot about intuition and energy. I am somebody who absolutely, I can feel your energy and usually I'm right on. In the beginning, we were just talking about somebody in particular a couple of days ago with a friend. Even the mention of this woman's name, I could feel her energy because I could see her. Whenever I see this one person, her energy is so heavy. And it's not a bad person. It's just so heavy and too much. Yeah. So, but you can, if you pay it, if you learn from somebody like you, Jody, and you sit there and you open yourself, your mind up to what if, when you walk into a room, if you pay attention, instead of just walking into a room and just, because I could be like a tornado, walk into a room and just take over. But if you could just walk into a room and take a deep breath, you can feel the energy around you. And you will know which direction to go to, where you're going to go, because you're there to have fun versus the heaviness.
Right. And if you are a highly sensitive person, you don't have to work too hard. I mean, the energy hits you, right? And you know, you can walk by somebody and be like, whoa, what just happened? Like, and then the trouble is like, oh, is that mine? Like, where'd that come from? All of a sudden, I'm feeling really sad and I don't know why. Right. So I think that's some of the work too. And I do tend to work with a lot of highly sensitive people. I work with a lot of complex developmental trauma. And those folks tend to be highly sensitive. Either they were born that way and or they had to attune to their environment in that kind of way because of the interpersonal trauma that they experienced as a child.
I'm going to have you back and talk about trauma another time, because there's so many different levels and layers to trauma, and trauma can be come in all shapes and sizes. I'm sorry, so that's a whole other conversation, but
okay.
Right, so I like that. So you pair, that's what makes your practice different. That's what, when I pulled up your website as I was Googling you, and I'm like, oh my God, wait, it's called your Urochi healing. I'm like, oh, it's a holistic integrative psychotherapy practice. And then Journey with Kindred Souls provides opportunities for helpers and healers to explore their own psycho-spiritual wellness through courses, coaching, and community. So not only do you help, you know, individuals with their trauma, with their how they're feeling, their emotional states through your combination of spirituality and psychotherapy, you help other healers like yourself learn how to integrate spirituality with their practices. That's what I'm understanding.
Yeah. And I think so what ended up happening for me is, Therachi Healing, and this is recent. So Therachi Healing is my psychotherapy practice. And because of, as I'm sure you can relate, because of my license, right? I have to keep that really clean.
Yes.
So that's where I do, you know, all my psychotherapy and everything having to do with psychotherapy, including Reiki assisted psychotherapy. And then Journey with Kindred Souls, because I've got such a love and passion for the spiritual journey in and of itself. And that's still evolving. But where it is right now is a platform for supporting helpers and healers in getting in touch with their own spiritual work, and also how they can bring that into their work as a helper or healer. And I'm when I say helper or healer, it doesn't necessarily have to be a therapist or even your job, because there's plenty of us who would consider ourselves helpers and healers in our personal lives, whether you're caretaking, you know, a family member.
How about a mom?
Our mom, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
I love that. And how about, you know, and this is another conversation, because I don't want to not get to the human design part, because I'm very curious about that. But what about, you know, our audience is made up of empty nest moms, midlife women, and living in and learning how to navigate transitions like empty nest and caring for our aging parents.
100%.
How it sounds to me like the work that you would share during Journey with Kindred Souls could be very supportive, because caring for our aging parents, oh, I can't even begin to, like, the amount of the number of emotions that go through your head. And it can be traumatic in itself to watch your parents get age and not be who you have known them to be your whole life, and having to be holding that, and it's holding that space to care for them. I have a lot of friends that are only children, and I watch them navigating this alone. So it could be for anybody. I love that.
Absolutely. And I just got chills as you were saying that. I recently went through something very similar with my mother-in-law, who just passed on this past January after several years of dementia, and just the difficulty in navigating that and the transition. And this is where I love, for me, it was really helpful to have that spiritual part, because her transition as she was dying was, for me, I was able to really be in it and be in it with my husband and understand and be okay with it. And that's really hard. I mean, as we're watching our parents, not only age, but a lot of them, and the experience of going into the memory care home over the last 2 or 3 years, and not only seeing her, who she slipped away from us over the course of that time, but all of these other people.
It's traumatic.
Oh my goodness. And so I think there's a lot of us going through this as our parents our physical bodies are living much longer, but cognitively not so much. So 100%, I think you're right on. We're in this life stage where we are really going to have to be in touch with our own humanity, and also just dealing with death and life. And
we need it. I did a solo episode called Life's a Team Sport. Who's on your team?
Oh,
I'm
love it.
A firm believer that every single person listening to this at some point in time gets to have a mental health professional on their team. Like, it is necessary. It makes you stronger, but that's in itself. So this is good. So we're going to have links on how you connect with Jody, and you can add our website below. Another part of what you do, it talks about human design and how human design can support helpers and healers in doing meaningful work without burnout. First of all, what is human design? I've heard that before. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll try to give you the elevator speech on human design.
Okay. Because
it's super long and complicated. So human design is known as the science of differentiation. And the reason why it's called that is that it's based on this idea that each one of us is born with our very own unique energetic blueprint for how we move through the world and our life purpose.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really cool. And so it is based on Western and Eastern astrology. So it is based on your birth date, time, and location. And the location is for time zone. So that information is really important. So it pulls in this astrology piece, which it was a little bit of a learning curve for me and continues to be, because it's astrology is not something I was super familiar with. And so you have that. And from that, you also pull in the Hindu chakra system.
Okay.
The Jewish Kabbalah.
Okay.
It gets better. the ancient Chinese I Ching.
Oh my God.
Quantum physics.
You got all the modalities there. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, this is why when I stumbled, and I actually heard about it on a podcast, and I was like, that's like all the things I'm into. So let me, I was really drawn to it. And then what I love even more so, and especially the kind of the branch of human design that I decided to study, which is known as quantum human design, it pulls in a lot of what we know about human development, epigenetics, ancestral trauma, conditioning, imprinting, how our environment affects us, attachment, like all the things, which really impacts the way we express this energetic design. So a lot of us are walking around expressing our energetic design totally out of alignment from the way in which we're meant to move, and or we continue to do things that are actually in alignment with our energetic design, but we're feeling a lot of shame around it because we're told we shouldn't be.
Oh my God. So I have to, I'm getting chills about something, and I need to know if this is kind of, But first of all, I love it. I'm going to learn more. And so that's two more episodes. You have to come back. One all on human design and how to use that for your purpose, to step into your purpose, your power and your purpose. We have to do that. Yep. So many women in our audience are really struggling with, like, who do they get to be now? Like, they're not a full-time mom, or maybe, you know, they were full-time moms. They walked away from the corporate job to be full-time moms, or they're lawyers and they just don't want to be an attorney anymore. That's not it. And I think this would be very helpful, but you made me think of something.
Yes.
So part of my story is I struggled in school all my life, specifically in college. And those who know and those who follow me know that I would not go back in time and change anything, because I am right where I'm supposed to be, doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And however, it was very difficult. When I reflect back, I realize I was in a major that was so out of alignment with who I was at my core and how I think and how I process. And I was only in that major because I had no idea what I wanted to be or do. And half my friends were in that major and half were in another major. And I ended up in a field that was absolutely where I was supposed to be, in sales and with people. But getting there was torture. And I realized, I said, you know, I was a marketing major and it was just way too analytical and way too dry. And I would watch my friend Lauren, who was a communications major, and I would watch her, and she was getting graded on a group project where they had to take a video project. I'm thinking, how cool is that? They're interviewing people. Hello. And I thought college would have been much easier had I known where I belonged.
Yeah.
Had I known to ask the right questions to inquire. Nobody made me do it, but I just didn't know. Yep. And I felt like I didn't even know the question to ask. Like, I should know. So you just made me think of that. So that's like human design can help us.
Absolutely. Okay. And what I love about it is, especially from the quantum human design perspective, it's all about experimentation. So at the end of the day, like, okay, here's your design, you know, play with it, you know, see what works, what doesn't work. Like, this is the best way for you to move through the world or make decisions. Go out and play around with it and see whether it works or not.
Oh my God, I love that. So do you, is that separate from your psychotherapy practice?
So where
could somebody engage with you?
Yeah.
To work about around their human design and understand it and
absolutely. So where I am right now is I do use, I'm starting to use human design in the context of psychotherapy for those people who are interested. But that's where I'm building this coaching business from, is through the use of human design. Okay. So I'm still in the process of building that. I am going through a specific coaching program to use human design as a coach. But so right now I am actually running a special for human design chart readings.
Ooh, we could drop a link for them to run their human design chart.
We could drop a link for them to run their human design chart.
And if they want to go deeper into it or further into it, that's when they can reach out for you.
100%. And I'm still going to be running specials. Like, I'm not going to be up full price probably till summer.
Okay.
So, you know, by April it'll, you know, like, yes.
Sure. So we'll share.
Yeah.
All right. So that's good. So we will put a link where they can actually run their human design chart. And as specials come up, we'll just keep them informed. And yep. They can reach out to you themselves too. If they like, you know, if they find the chart fascinating, they can just reach out and ask you, how can I do this? I love it.
Absolutely. I'm all with it. Yes.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk after I hit stop record. You and I are going to do that.
Yep. Because,
anyway, so yeah, so this is it's fascinating work. I love it. I love what you do. I love how you do it. And I love all parts of it. I am fascinated by that human design part specifically because so many of the women who come to our community through Facebook, the Moms Who Dare group, and who tune into the show they really struggle with, what is my purpose? How do I find what's meaningful to me in this stage of my life? And it sounds like that could really help give them really insight, open their eyes and hearts up to who they really are at their core. If we've lost sight of ourselves, which we can easily lose sight of who we are at our core with all the roles and all the hats that we wear.
Absolutely. And it's such a great time to do it, especially because, and again, I'm not an astrology expert, but what I have learned is that for most of us, in our mid to late 50s is when our second Saturn return happens.
Okay.
And so it's an opportunity for a lot of change and for like reconnecting with ourselves. And as our, you know, children leave and we become empty nesters and we're trying to figure out who we are and what do we do and what's my purpose and have a, you know, it's a really good time to really evaluate that and make decisions based on what feels right for you instead of what you think is right for everybody else.
Yeah, I love that. And that's why in our 50s, we are empowered. We are confident. We've had years of experience behind that. We can say, no, this is what I want to do. And I'm going to give it a try. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, I'm going to try something else. So I love that.
Yes.
Okay. So now we have to end with a dare. So nobody gets out of here beyond emptiness without giving our audience a dare. Did you come up with a dare through our conversation?
Well, I think a good dare would be to go and run a chart. And see what comes up. And certainly after running your chart, you can contact me. You can do your own research. I mean, you know, these days you can find everything and anything on Google. So, you know, you can Google your type. And I'll just let your audience know so they know what they're looking for. What will happen when you run your chart is you'll get like blurbs of information. And for some people, it's like, oh my gosh, this is way too overwhelming. I have no idea what any of this means. I don't understand it. And that's fine. Reach out to me. I can help you out. But for some, you can take that information and Google and get more information about your type, strategy, and authority in particular. So that's going to be super helpful. And when you think about human design, think about it as like as an onion. There's so many layers to it. And the outermost layer is the type. And there's five types. And okay. So that's a pretty simple one to start with. And that will give you generally what you are here to do and how you move through the world. And you can start there. And if you want a full reading, you can certainly contact me.
I love it. So that's your dare. Your dare, everyone, is to learn more about yourself by clicking the link in the show notes to run your human design chart. Oh, I love this. I'm so excited to hear. And listen, when you do that, for anybody who dares to accept this dare, please reach out and let us know what you discovered about yourself. You can leave a comment on our YouTube channel. You can email me direct how you contact. You can let the other Jody, Jody Silverman know. you can find us on social media. And if you reach out to me, I will make sure that Jody gets it and hears your comments. But please share the results of your dare with us because we want to cheer you on and put that good energy behind it. And you know, that's why I do this. Everybody knows what I'm going to say next. Why I do this show is with the hope and the belief that you will and can walk away from every episode with one moment that, aha, oh, I could do that. Or yes, that's what that is. And I know that you had one of those moments for this show. And if you don't think you did because you were so excited listening, hit rewind and listen again because there were some really good nuggets here. Check out the show notes, connect with Jody, connect with me, leave a review, leave a comment. They help us. We're doing really well with the show and only because of you for tuning in week after week. So Jody Silverman, I cannot wait to meet you in person. Thank you for joining me on the show. And I look forward to many more conversations. And for everybody out there, accept the dare. Don't forget to come back next Thursday for another episode of Beyond Empty Nest. And as I always say, dare on.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond Empty Nest. Head over to jodysilverman.com for full show notes, more information, and additional resources. Speaking of additional resources, I've got a great one for you in the show notes below. So if you've enjoyed today's show and are ready to embrace this midlife chapter, then you're going to want to grab our featured resource called the Self-Talk Cleanup Challenge. You may not think so, but to quote our friend Oprah, the one thing I know for sure is that negative self-talk and thoughts are what's keeping you stuck in fear and lacking confidence to take the leaps in midlife that you desire to take. When you grab this resource, you'll receive the exact exercise my first coach took me through. It's simple, yet powerful. In addition, I'll send you a few other tools and tricks to help you knock out the negativity when it shows up, thereby increasing your confidence and your overall happiness, allowing you to have fulfillment and fun in midlife. You deserve it. So go ahead and grab your copy of the Self-Talk Cleanup Challenge, and I'll see you next Thursday. Until then, dare on.